doors can be exciting. I remember a time, I think I was 15, my brother was 12, my sister was 18, and we were upstairs, two-story house, the top floor where our bedrooms were, and I heard a noise. My brother was in the shower, and I heard a noise downstairs. I heard what I thought was a door opening. And so I waited, and you know how you do. You'll say, hello. It was a time of day where the only reasonable explanation would have been my sister. So I said, hey, Sonia, are you down there? There's nothing. And I thought I heard another noise of movement downstairs. Hey, Mom, Dad, are you guys there? Nothing. Then you start overthinking things. And so I froze. I'm at the top of the stairs. I'm to the left of the stairs in my sister's room. And I dare not cross through the hallway at the top of the stairs, lest I get eaten alive by a monster. So the more I thought about that, the more I envisioned in my mind what bad things would happen if I stepped out of the room into the hallway to cross the door. Here comes my brother down the hall in his towel. I said, come here. So he takes a left instead of a right, and now we're both to the bedroom to the left of the stairway. I said, somebody's in the house. He said, what? I said, somebody's in the house. So all he had was his underwear. And all I had was a ball bat. And so I said, okay, here's the deal. If we jump out the window, it's only like a story and a half. We got to get out of here. He said, what are you talking about? I said, someone came in the door and I heard a noise. And the noise sounded to me exactly like someone going through the kitchen drawers to get the big butcher knife. That's what I heard. I heard them going through the drawers, and it was obvious to me what was happening. They reached for the butcher knife because that's what I heard. And so he said, I said, you can do it. We'll just jump and run. And all of a sudden, here I hear footsteps. Now we can't say a word. Footsteps are coming. I said, get behind me. I had the bat. I'm standing. The steps were to the room on the left. I'm waiting. I'm like, just knock them out. Just go run. Yeah, I could hear them slowly coming up the stairs with this big butcher knife in their hand. They're going to chop us up, but I'm gonna get them first. And here they come. I can hear them closer. Can you hear it? Just closer and closer. And they're slowly walking to try to intimidate us further into submission, but I'm not going down without a fight. So here they come, the top of the stairs. I'm standing with a ball bat. My brother's in his 12-year-old underwear standing there thinking, dear God, we're either going to die or we're going to jump out of the window. My underwear was going to see me. And I'm ready just to let them have it. And here they come around the corner. Steps, a familiar face, and my sister says, what are you doing with the ball bat in your hand? I said, we almost killed you because you are coming to kill us. Doors can be exciting. Doors can be scary. Or doors can be life-giving. It depends on what's on the other side of the door. John 10:10. John chapter 1, Jesus is talking to a group of people about being a door. Your translation may say gate. It may say door. Let's unpack it together. In verse 1, he says, "Truly, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate," could say door, "but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus uses this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus says, let me translate that for you. Let me break it down for you, fellas. "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to what? There it is. Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the what? Full." Every one of us has stood at a doorway. Every one of us has stood at a place where we had to decide what we would do with the entranceway that was in front of us. Every one of us will cross paths with a decision or an access point that you have to make or go through. Jesus is talking to a group of men who had just mistreated a man who Jesus had ministered to. He begins to tell a story, a word picture, a metaphor, and asks them to envision it with him. He tries to paint a picture. He paints a picture that everyone who hears it in the first century would visualize his words through a word picture. Jesus said, "Look, I'm the gate. I'm the entranceway. I'm the door. Nothing comes in unless it comes through me. Nothing goes out unless it goes past me. Jesus is the only legitimate way to truth. Jesus is the only legitimate way to a relationship with the Lord. Jesus is the only legitimate way to divine protection and abundant life." If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, Jesus is the gate to truth. Now, I'm going to solicit a little help. I'm going to ask for a little help. I'm going to ask Caleb and Zach to come help me. I want you to just do what I did. Just keep going. I'll give you some instructions. Caleb, you come on this side. Zach, you'll come on this side. I want you to build for me. Make this one 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Make this one 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Got it? Everybody say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. See, the difference in these guys and me is they can take two blocks at one time. So I figured twice as fast is better. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jesus is the gate to truth. He makes a radical, bold claim. He says, Pharisees, I tell you this, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus is contrasting two groups of people. Two groups of people. One group, he contrasts, you enter through the gate. You enter through the doorway. You enter through the access point. The other climbs over a wall. When you climb over the wall, he says, you're a thief, you're a robber. He's talking to them about them. And they're starting to pick up on it. He challenges their authority and leadership. And it leads to two categories. True shepherd, thieves and robbers. True shepherd, thieves and robbers. Now if we back up, we see the story in John chapter 9 that just happened. And here's, give these guys a hand. Thank you, fellas. We see the story in John chapter 9. Let me summarize the story. There was a guy he couldn't see. He was blind. Jesus met the man who was blind. He couldn't see. Jesus healed the man that was blind. Then he could see. Jesus said, go down to a river and wash. The man washes. He opens his eyes and now he can see. So the Pharisees are concerned about this activity because they had a control issue. And they wanted to find out what the what this is all about. So they called him in. They're like, what's the deal with you? Well, actually, Jesus went to his parents and said, hey, is this true? They're like, yeah, I mean, he was blind. What about this? He said, well, go talk to him. He's a grown man. Go talk. He can tell you. So they called him into the carpet. They said, what happened to you? He said, well, I can see. So they began to interrogate him and came after him. And so finally he says, look, all I know about this Jesus guy is before I met him, I was blind. And now I can see. So you do with that what you want to. But I'm going away happy because I can see. Well, you would think that would make someone happy, but it did not. It made them upset. Why? Number one, Jesus did a miracle on the Sabbath and it made them angry. Number two, they'd never seen anything like this, so they couldn't explain it. Jesus says, look, the people are my sheep. And you have access to them one way that's legitimate. If you come through the gate, then you're a good shepherd. If you come and climb over the wall, you're illegitimate. The bottom line was this. Jesus met a man and he can now see. Physically and spiritually. Jesus met a group of men who could not see. Oh, they could see physically, but they couldn't see spiritually, and they were now more blind than they've ever been. For 500 years, the Jews have sang this song. It's out of Psalm 118. And it was a song written to celebrate the festivals. In Psalm 118, verses 19 and 20, it says this: "Open for me the gates of the righteous, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me, and you have become my salvation." For 500 years, this song was sang. However, those who sang it didn't realize that Jesus was saying, "That's me." You see that? "Open the gates for the righteous. Lord, I'll enter and give thanks to your name. This is the gate of the Lord, through which I will give thanks, for you answer me, you become my salvation." Jesus later takes this word picture in Matthew, and he says this. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to" what? "Destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life." And what? "Only a few find it. If you have a child in school, and you go to pick them up, and you go through the front office, what's required of you is proof of who you are. Now, I think every good parent would want that at the school in which they drop off their children. An ID is required to pick up your child. You have authorized and unauthorized, right? And at the beginning of the year, which is right around the corner, you can fill out the form. You can even include the crazy uncle if you want to. You just got to fill out the form. You fill out the form, who's authorized and who's unauthorized. Authorized gives you entry. Unauthorized limits your access. Someone climbing through a window or jumping over the wall would be illegitimate. Someone coming through the front door with an ID badge would be legitimate. Jesus makes an incredible claim right here. He says, "I am the legitimate access to truth. If you want to know the truth, you have to come through me. If you want to know what's true, you got to know me. If you want to know the difference between the lies of this world and the truth of the kingdom, you have to come through me. There's no other way. There's no other access point. Everyone who does not go through me is a illegitimate source. Be aware of those claiming spiritual truth but denying the divinity of Christ. The Holy Spirit will help us here. Does this align with Jesus? Is what I'm hearing align with Jesus? 1 Corinthians 12:10 tells us about discernment. And the Spirit helps us recognize Jesus claims to be the gate to truth. Number two, Jesus is the gate to relationship with God. So what does all this mean? Jesus says, I'm the gateway. You want into the family, you come through me. John 10, verse 3 says this: "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." So he's taken the shepherd analogy, which they all understood. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. So he leads ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. So what's happening here? What's this all about? What's this all about? Many times at night, sheep might come into a pen that had multiple flocks in it. Your flock may have 10 or 12, 15 to 20, 30 or 40, and they may share a pen. Now the gate, the pen, would look something like this, except it would be gathered stones and rocks. Have you ever seen somebody that builds stone walls for a living? I got into that when I was doing some landscaping last year and just got into these YouTube deals. And, like, it's pretty incredible, the construction behind it. If you build it correctly, it could be a 100-year wall. You have to know how to do it right. You stack the stones in a certain way, and you chip in. And so they had built these pens, and they're probably higher than this. They built the pens for a place for the sheep to seek refuge. And Jesus is talking about that. He's talking about that. And he says, look, in the morning when the shepherd comes, he has a call to his sheep, and they can follow his voice. He will call them, he will lead them out when they hear his voice. The other shepherds will do the same, and they'll split them up, and they'll take them to pasture. So Jesus, in the imagery, is leading from the front. He's calling in a way that they can understand, and he leads them out. The gateway is not just a place of security. It's an access point to relationship with God. Jesus says, that's me. The gate is not just an entry to safety, it's an entry point to relationship with the Lord. No one comes to the Father, he says, except through what? Me. Jesus claims exclusivity and receives worship from people who declare that for him. He is saying, I am the way, I'm the access point to relationship with God. You want to know God? Get to know me. You want to hear the Lord's voice? You want to hear the Father's voice? Hear my voice. Isaiah 43:1 says this, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I have summoned you, what? Say that again. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. How about them apples? Jesus later on, verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This happened once. We lived in Mobile. Well, technically, Saraland, just north of Mobile. And we were part of a community yard sale. Those are fun, exciting. I don't know if you're out from around here. It's a yard sale is when everyone gets together and they trade each other's junk. They're like, I'm going to clean out my garage with my junk and then get your junk and put it back in my garage. That's pretty much what a yard sale is. Okay, so Jamie's like, listen, we're going to clean out some junk. So she's, I'm going to be part of the yard sale. So we're selling stuff, she's selling stuff. And a lady comes. You know, it's a cultural experience. You got to go, man. If you've never been. And so she comes with a deal, this, you know how you do, right? And hands her some money, and Jamie's busy talking to other people and reaches out, grabs the money, and holds it in her hand and looks down. Said, "Ma'am, this is not real." And of course, the lady is so shocked that someone would say that about her counterfeit $20 bill. I said, "Jamie, how'd you know?" She said, "All she had to do was put it in my hand. It was a horrible counterfeit. It was like Monopoly money paper. Like, they didn't get the paper right. I didn't even have to look at it. I knew right away what I was holding in my hand." I said, "Jamie, you ever had a counterfeit bill in your hand?" She said, "No, I've never had one. How'd you know this was counterfeit?" "Because I'm used to holding the real deal." And I knew right away, this is counterfeit. When you hold the real deal, and counterfeits come your way, they will be easily recognized. Develop a relationship with Jesus. Let me give you one simple tool that if you'll use this simple tool alone, I promise you will grow in your relationship with Christ. Here's a tool. Are you ready? Every day for 5 days a week, open your Bible and have a private devotion with the Lord. 15 minutes, 5 days a week. Let that be your starting point. People ask me, "Hey, how much should I pray? How much should I read the Bible?" I said, "All right, let's start here. How about 5 days a week, 15 minutes a day? Open your Bible, read a chapter, get a journal. What did you see? What did you observe? And what's the Lord saying to you?" And you pray. If you will take that one simple tool and you'll go through Scripture 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week as a baseline, you will grow in your relationship with the Lord, and you will be able to discern more and more and more what is counterfeit and what is real. You'll also find that after some time, and you build on a few successful weeks, you'll say, "You know, I kind of like this. I think I'm going to cheat a little bit and go 20 minutes. Or you go, "You know, I'm really growing in this thing. What would happen if I went 25 minutes? And you will find that when you consistently connect with God through reading Scripture, through meditating on that, reflecting on that, and praying, you will begin to discern truth like you've never discerned it before. Is this God's voice, or is this my emotions? Is this God's voice, or is this a worldly influence? Is this the shepherd talking, or am I reacting to noise?" Develop a relationship with the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to give you discernment as you read. Here's an advanced tip for you. Before you open the Bible, you pray, "Lord, I ask that you would give me wisdom and discernment to know what your word is saying to me. In Jesus' name, amen." You will find the more you come in contact with the authentic, the more obvious the counterfeit looks. And the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you. So back to John chapter 9. This is where the blind man, I want to read to you an interaction that the blind man has with Jesus. I'm going to read it to you. I just want you to envision this. Jesus had heard that the Pharisees had mistreated the blind man. That's what led to this discussion. That's what led to the whole sheep pen and gate metaphor. He heard that they had thrown him out, actually. They threw him out. I just got a question. How many blind people are seeing in your ministry? None. How many blind people are seeing in Jesus' ministry? Well, this one guy, let's just throw him out. what are you doing here? They throw him out, and this is what the Bible says in John 35. When he found him, who's the he? Jesus, who's the him? The blind man. When Jesus heard about this and found the blind man, in other words, he goes back to him and he says to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now the guy was blind just a little while ago. Now he can see. The blind man says, sir, who is he? Tell me so that I might believe in him. Jesus said, You have now seen him. You're going to think of that word in a different context now. You have now seen him. You see me? Your eyes are open. You've now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you right now. The man said, Lord, I believe. And the man worshiped Christ. Jesus says, for judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see. And those who see will become blind. Book of Revelation talks about a group of people who were naked, poor, blind, and hungry. They can't see. They're jacked up, messed up. They need help. One man who needed help got it because he believed. The others who needed help rejected it, and all they see physically, they're blind spiritually. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say and ask, what are we blind to? You're picking up on it, fellas. Jesus answered, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. It's referring to the man. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. In other words, you want to be a know-it-all? You want to be self-sufficient? You want to be your own God? Guess what? You'll stay blind. But if you say, I am wretched, poor, naked, blind, I need salve for my eyes, clothes for my back, food for my belly, I am in trouble. Jesus says, I will open your eyes. Come to me. Jesus is the gate to truth. Jesus is the gate to a relationship with God. Third, Jesus is the gate to security from the enemy. Jesus is the gate to security from the enemy. Here's what he says. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus says again, very truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Jesus moves from a metaphor to a declaration. There used to be a politician by the name of Bob Dole. Who remembers Bob Dole? Yep. Bob Dole would refer to himself in what, the first person? Third person. How do you? He would say, Bob Dole says, wait, is that you? Yeah, it's Bob Dole. He referred to himself, Bob Dole says, I just thought that was funny as a kid. Like, is he talking about somebody else? Does he realize that's him, right? Bob Dole says. So Jesus says again, very truly, I say, I'm telling you guys, I'm the gate for the sheep. He moves from a metaphor to a declaration. I am the gate. So, in that context, the sheep pen, there was no gate as we would imagine. You may have a wooden fence, probably has a gate to it. You have a chain link fence, probably has a gate to it. You have a brick fence, probably has a gate to it. Fences have gates. A gate is what? An access point. Jesus says, I'm the gate. No one comes in unless they come through me. If they come in another way, they're illegitimate. In the first century, shepherds many times would sleep, camp, sit at the gateway. They may even lay across the opening at night so that if something harmful were to try to come in, woo-hoo-hoo! Or if something being led astray would try to go out, I won't do it again. I was on a youth ski retreat, and me and a couple buddies were like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just go hang out. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to hang out. We're the church group. We have no ill intent planned. But who wants to sleep on a retreat? When you've been skiing all day, you want to get out. So what we're going to do is we're all going to meet up around 11:30. We're just going to hang out down at the ski lodge lobby. I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to hang out. So it was incumbent upon each person to find a way out. And so I'm like, this is easy. You can trick old people real simply. You just move real slow. They'll never hear you. You move slow enough, no one will know anyways. So I just, for about 10 minutes, I just kind of slivered down the bed. Act like I was asleep. Just kind of slivered down the bed. Took me about 10 minutes. Working my way down, slowly, just slowly sliding off the edge of the bed. Low crawling so you don't create a shadow. Get to the door. I'm not going to do anything bad. I'm just going to hang out with my friends. We're all sneaking out together. I don't know what the attraction is to sneaking out. I ain't going anywhere. I'm not going to do anything. It's a challenge of sneaking out. I get to the doorway. I stand up and I got to put on a little, like some clothes. I can't just go out in pajamas. So I put on some clothes and I go to open the door and I hear his voice. It sounds a lot like Steve, the chaperone. And he says, hey, Tim, what are you doing? Now I could justify sneaking out, but I couldn't justify lying because I felt guilty about it. He said, what are you doing? He said, I've been watching you for 10 minutes. I just been sitting up here in the bed just watching. What is he doing? Is something wrong with him? Has he got upset stomach? What is he? Has he got cramps? I've been watching. Tim, I've been watching for 10 minutes. What are you doing? I just crawled back in bed defeated. Couldn't even sneak out of a hotel room. Here's the deal. Jesus watches over you. I found even in your ignorance and foolishness, the grace of God will grab you and wrap you up. How many would say, there's about 10 reasons why I shouldn't even be sitting here today? Come on. There's about 10, 12, some of you are like, I got about 25 reasons why I shouldn't be sitting here today. But the grace of God, he is your security from the enemy. And he says, I am the gate. Harsh statement to the Pharisees. Those come before me are thieves and robbers. I am the gate. I will protect you and watch over you. Stick with me and I'll protect you. He is both the entrance way and he's your defender. 23rd Psalm. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because what? You are with me. Here's the shepherd analogy still. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Some of you had a home security system in your house. Why do you have a home security system? For protection and peace of mind. For protection and peace of mind. If you have a home security system, you know if somebody is coming in without the code. You know if somebody is, you could even set it, if you go out without the code. You have a home security system because you want to protect your stuff and your people, and you want to have peace of mind. Throw this on the screen. Jesus is not a system. He's a living protector. He's a living protector. Jesus will protect you. Listen, three ways. Physically, he will protect you physically. Ask him to. He will protect you emotionally. He'll protect your mind. He'll protect you from invasive, self-destructing thoughts. And he will protect you spiritually. He is your protector. He is your protector. And when Jesus is the gate, you are secure. Listen, when you come to Christ and you commit your life to him, there is security and safety in him. There's a bunch of ways that we could name, that we could come up with to be fearful this morning. But when you have Christ, when you are in, when you are one of his sheep, you are protected against outside forces, and you are protected and shielded. Listen, even against your own foolishness. He will help you from sneaking out at 11:30 at night, go down the lobby of the ski lodge. Tim, I've been watching for 10 minutes. What are you doing? I'm sneaking out, Steve. Get back in bed. Funny thing. Let's see, 15, 25. 20 years later, I worked for Steve. I went back to school and working on just education stuff for ministry. And for about 18 months, I actually worked for Steve. One day he says, "Hey, remember that time we were up in Gatlinburg? You tried to sneak out." I'm like, "Oh, you remember that?" He's like, "Yeah, I remember that. I was watching for 10 minutes." Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Jesus is our covering of authority. He is our protector. When you pray for protection and spiritual boldness, you receive it. Act on it. Act on it. Act on it. Jesus is your protector. Fourth thing is this. Worship team, come on. Jesus is the gate to a life of abundance. He's a gate to the life of abundance. Probably the most quoted verse in this passage is verse 10. And here it is. Read it with me. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So the enemy has a plan for your life. It's a threefold mission statement. It's pretty easy to discern. Jesus breaks it down so even someone like me can understand it. Here's the threefold mission statement of hell: steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your physical health. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy your mental health. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy your spiritual health. And that's always got in the holster. Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the contrast, right? The thief, this is what you get when you're outside the pen. This is what you get when I'm not your gate. This is what you get when you're not in the fold. This is what you get. You're being stolen from. You're being lied to. You're being destroyed. You're blind? You want to see? Come on. I'll open your eyes. Come on in. They were blind too, and now they all see. Come on in. Come on in. You can now see. That word life there is an interesting word. Greek word. Jesus says, parisos, parisos. You may have parisos. It means overflowing, excessive, beyond normal expectation. That which is not ordinarily encountered. Remarkable, extraordinary. You may have remarkable, extraordinary. That which is not normally encountered. That's why I've come for that. I want to push back on this wrong thought. I want to take this scripture and push back on this illegitimate thought. I want to push back on this lie. Here's the lie. Are you ready? We're going to take John 10:10 and push back over this lie. Here's the lie. When you follow Jesus, you will be restricted. The lie is, okay, fine. Follow Jesus. Tell me how that works out for you. You're going to be bound up and restricted with a bunch of rules and a bunch of no fun people and a bunch of you're going to be bound up with all kinds. Here's a lie. Follow Jesus. Have no fun. Missed my little slot there. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You want that immeasurably more? You want that abundant life? You want that abundance? You want that victory? You want that peace? You want that? Come through the gate. Come through the gate and see the immeasurably more. John ends the story and moves on to something else with two groups of people. The blind guy, who ain't blind no more, he's super thankful. And the Pharisees, who are more mad than ever, more bound up than ever. Now you tell me, Who's winning on that one? They asked the blind man, explain all this to us. We want to get to the bottom of this. He's like, I don't know. Honestly, fellas, I woke up, I was blind. I ain't blind no more. That's all I know. You can check it out for yourself. Isn't that the testimony when we get saved? Listen, there's a bunch of things I don't understand. There's a bunch of things I don't know. But what I do know is Jesus has just done something amazing for me. I don't know all what the Bible, I don't know all, I'm just starting out on this thing. I don't know everything there is to know. I don't know, but all I know is I met this man, Jesus. And now I'm not like I was. I'm different now. I'm not like I was no more. I'm different now. Something happened. Something happened. And I don't want to stop. I found someone that did something for me that no one has ever done for me. Here's what that looks like. Galatians 5 tells us. It's called fruit. And the fruit, I say fruit. Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Isn't this what we all want? I mean, isn't this what we want? Isn't this really what everyone wants? They want to be loved. They want to experience love. They wonder what it's like. They want true joy. How about some peace up in here? Oh, I wish I was more patient. Kindness. Oh, I want to be kind. I don't want to be bitter. I want to be good. Oh, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Isn't that what we want? Jesus says, you follow me, and there's going to be fruit that comes to your life. What areas of your life could use some more Ephesians 3:20 and Galatians 5? What areas of your life could use some exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine? The blind man came to Jesus blind. What did he need? He needed to see. What is it you need from the Lord? What is it that you need that you cannot provide for yourself? Jesus says, I'm the answer to that. It's me. Oh, the truth is, you can't provide anything for yourself. Come through the gate and enjoy pasture. And I will lead you. You will recognize my voice. You'll hear it. And we will move out together. I will protect you. I will show you truth. I will keep you safe from harm. I will send my Holy Spirit to help you, to bring a conviction when you try to sliver out of the bed for 10 minutes on a ski retreat. I said, what are you doing? I've been watching you for 10 minutes. Get back in bed. Oh, you're right. Abundance comes from Jesus. There he is. The great shepherd. He's the gate. What do you need from the Lord? There's nothing wrong with asking God for help. As a matter of fact, that's really the beginning point of a relationship with Him. God, I don't have, but You do. Would You help me? Close your eyes, bow your head, close your eyes. Maybe you're here today, sound of my voice, and you're here and you say, I'm not born again. I'm not in the sheep pen. I haven't come through Jesus. I've tried to do it my way. I've tried to do it some other way. I've read some books on this kind of stuff you're talking about, man, but it's not Jesus stuff. It's just I've kind of done my own thing. I've gone this route or that route or Hinduism or Buddhism or New Ageism or whatever ism, and I just tried to, but it really hadn't worked. It's just I haven't come through Jesus. Or the truth is, you know the truth, you've just been running. My question is, why are you running? What is it that's so alluring about stealing, killing, and destroying your life? I mean, what is attractive about that? Think about it, man. Think about it. What's attractive about that? Well, now that you put it that way, I guess nothing. Did you come to Jesus? Today's your day. Here's what that looks like. God, I surrender to You. I've been doing my own thing for whatever reason. No more. I surrender to You. God, I admit I'm a sinner. I'm blind. I'm a sinner. Would You forgive me? Believe upon Jesus. Trust in Him. If that's you today, I've got good news. You can begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ today. Or you say, hey, that's me, I'm there. But this is what I need from God. Why don't you ask Him for the immeasurably more that you can ask or imagine? Why not start asking for the abundance? Why live beneath your inheritance? Why live beneath the rights that you have as the kingdom kid? Why live beneath that? God, help us with our faith. Help us with our faith. Help us with our faith. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Time of reflection. If you're here today and you say, hey, Tim, I walked in the room not serving God. I walked in. I'm not in the pen. I haven't gone through Jesus. Maybe I was at one time, or maybe I don't know, but I just got so far away. Maybe if you were even to ask me, are you a Christian? I would say yes, just not acting like one. Today's your day to say, all right, come on, let's come on home. Today's your day to come home. On the count of three, I want you just to wave at me and say, hey, Tim, pray for me, because that's me. I want that for my life. I don't want to leave like I came in. That's what I want. That's you today. I'm talking to you, sir. And this is your opportunity. If you're watching on this, today's your opportunity. If that's you, pray for me, Tim. That's me. Today I want to go through the gate. I want Him. All across the room. One. On the count of three, raise your hand. Look up at me. Two. Three. Today's my day. Today's my day. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, today's my day. Today I'm going to be a Jesus follower. Help me. Jesus followers would say, today, I realize I have not been living with the expectation of Ephesians 3:20, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or imagine. I have not been living in that expectation. And you say, God, help me to live in a way that You want me to. I want that abundance. How many would just wave at me and say, Pastor, include me in that? That's me. Come on, my hands are up this morning. I want that abundance. I want that abundance. All across the room, would everyone stand up on their feet right now? Would you stand up on your feet right now? In a moment, we're going to respond in worship. Here's what we're going to do. You say, hey, listen, I want the abundance that God has for me. There's nothing wrong with asking God for increase. There's nothing wrong with asking God for health. There's nothing wrong with asking God for clarity and mental health. There's nothing wrong with asking God for a promotion. There's nothing wrong with asking God to be able to comprehend more when you study. There's nothing wrong with asking God to make you a better leader, a better manager, a better husband, a better wife. There's nothing wrong with that. He says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Stop living beneath your kingdom potential.